is actually a result of a breakthrough in the spirit. I'm not saying just catch the of what he said. All right, because this thing is an advanced position and a balanced advance in the realm of the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying here? All right? You will understand why it is Paul God had to use to write the New Testament. It's not just that you have to be in a place. And that thing, the way he said it, is because I've told you he has more grace than his physical age. Because the way he said it is profound. So take it and listen well to what he is saying. Because too many people are just repeating what they heard somebody say or speaking out of rebellion. They are not speaking out of revelation from a position in the spirit. There is nobody that will listen to what he said, except you are possessed, that will be offended or feel attacked, but you'll be corrected. You get what I'm saying here? All right? So now I know your calling. I have seen him in the spirit realm. I know what he's saying is very, very strong. All right? Because God speaks. Okay? And people can hear different ways in which. So many people that you've seen a chicken in the dream and you went for deliverance. Didn't Peter see animals? And what God was trying to tell him was take the message to the Gentiles. So if you saw those kind of animals, based on your own previous teaching, your life has ended. Amen and amen. Let's put our hands together for that's very, what he said is profound though. Listen to this message well. What he said is very profound. He navigated spaces and helped people change positions in the spirit realm cleanly. In fact, it was when he was preaching, I said, now I know there is a shift. And not that people are just saying shift. Now I know that there is actually a shift. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, all right? Well, let's just go to the next one. Now, I'm going to bring up Reverend Miko for 30 minutes before we go on a break. And I'm going to, we're going to just do question and answers for 30 minutes. Now, the way we're going to do it is, I don't have all the questions, so I will start one question. Please, could they bring, please, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, of whom we serve and of whom we have gathered here together, don't ask question that is not relevant. Please don't ask a question an usher can answer. Do you get what I'm saying? You have an opportunity to ask questions from somebody who has decades. Don't come and say, was John an apostle? Or those are not, but, all right? So please, now I won't be able to take all the questions. Also, please forgive me ahead of time if you put up your hand and they did not call you. I've asked for forgiveness first, because some people get offended. They'll do that. I want them, they'll say, they didn't call me. All right? So I'd like two chairs to come up and Reverend Miko and ushers, please, can you come and those of you that know how to move the pulpit, oh, you help me move this pulpit, yeah. And then I need another microphone for him. All right, you have that. Reverend Miko, please. Amen. You may be seated, sir. All right. So I will ask the first question and question I want to ask is, well, let me just put it in context. A move of God broke out in this country. Let me just put in, I mean, there have been move of God before that, but from the days of
Mike.
All right, let's start from the days of IVCU in the 60s, how it progressed right into the Word of Faith in the 80s and how the transition occurred.
Praise God. Before I go into answer that question, I want to say this about what we have just heard, the message we have just heard. And it ties into what we talk about. Several months back, sometime in August last year, I was at a meeting in Elisha, and one of the Oshumaki days, I always confuse them, and the one, Pastor Shegun Koka, they were there, and when they finally met me in my room, I mentioned something to them. I said, I see God doing a work of progression. Brought some revelations. Not many people could comprehend it. God used Kenneth E. Hagin to expand those things in a way that many people could understand. Kenneth Hagin did his job. Kenneth Copeland came and seem to have expanded yet further a lot of the things that Kenneth Hagin taught. A few of us, by the grace of God, came on after, took those things and expanded it. And I said to them, I see God raising a new generation of younger preachers whom he will grant insight in a greater dimension to yet expand on some things that we are hitherto known, but they will have insight to expand it. For the message we listened to this afternoon, I met Joshua Selman in the speaker's lounge. I've never met him before face to face, but I listened to his messages and I told him, I said, you are a man with a very organized ability to teach the word of God. You are a very organized teacher. I am glad that he has made my job a bit easier. A lot easier, not as you say, Peter. A lot of the things he has said, I'm happy he's the one that said it. I'm happy he's the one that said it. I don't have to go too much into it. The word of God. The word of God. The word of, friends, this thing we call the word of God, we think we have understood it. We think we have understood it. There is still so much that we don't know. It is God who must give us insight. I preached a message sometime last year on the spiritual technology of the Word of God. The spiritual technology of the Word of God. I preached it in Pastor Nkechi's church in Port Harcourt. And at the end of the message, Pastor Nkechi said, this is a turning point for us in this ministry. It is a turning point for us. And their whole congregation, he said, all of the offerings this morning are going to Reverend Emeka Omosuka. Later she came to meet me in my gave me the figures. 2.4 million naira. I cleaned my mouth. I do like say nothing happened. Friends, there is a dimension of the word of God that we are yet to understand. God help us. Back to the question that you talked about. God had laid his hands on young people on our campuses over the years. God had laid his hands on young people, because in our environment, people who are educated, when you go back to your hometown, to your village, they respect you a lot. Abi? So anything you say, they are likely to believe you. So God laid his hands on a lot of young people on university fellowships, energized them with his word and revelation of the spirit, so that they can go home to their different fellowships and begin to disseminate what he has taught them on campus. The campus environment was a deliberate breeding ground for God's work in the wider society. In 1976, the Spirit of God told me, he said to me that the Nigerian society is becoming increasingly enlightened and sophisticated, and that he will need an adequate army of enlightened preachers to address this increasingly sophisticated society. He said to me, in the next couple of years, this is 1976, he said, in the next couple of years, I will be moving people from the academic environment into the ministry. And it was one of my roles and assignment to conduct my life in such a way that people will know that being called into ministry is not being called into suffering and misery. We were to live a life of faith that will make people see that being called into ministry is not something to be afraid of. So there have been a deliberate, graduated move of the Spirit over the years. But something seemed to have gone wrong now. The commitment which was a major hallmark of Christianity in yesteryears, it seems to be absent today. The commitment, and dear friends, it is the commitment of our hearts that creates room in us for God to occupy. And God must occupy our hearts in order for him to do his work in and through us. That is something that we must come back to. There is a greater move of God in the years ahead. There is a greater move of God. Way back 1974, I used to say to people, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, America, Europe, technologically, they are ahead of us. I don't fight. They are ahead of us. I'm not sure we can catch up. But Lord, this was my communication with the Lord around 1974. I said, Lord, in the things of the Spirit, I don't know that there is any first world and second world and third world. I said, Lord, that portion of your end time glory and anointing that belongs to us in this part of the world. We must have it. We must have it. So sure was I that it was coming that I used to say to people, if federal government gives me a scholarship to travel abroad to study, I said, I will not go unless God personally convinces me that that great glory will not come in my absence. I was so sure something was coming. Friends, we have seen snippets of it. The greater dimension is yet ahead. Let us not, because of the little we have seen today, abort the greater thing that God wants to do. That's where I will leave it.
All right. So I will take questions. Let me just, I don't want to, so I don't dominate the conversation. All right. You put up your hand. Lady, yes. Please give her the microphone.
Was actually to Apostle, but it's maybe.
No, yes. It's, we are doing a discussion with him.
Okay, all right. When I had my encounter June 1st of 2020, and I really received the Spirit of God, so I was having different encounters, so much was going on. So after a while, I said, okay, I can't go into ministry without having, I need a mantle. So I said, okay, I don't want to be a preacher that wants to be using only anointing oil. So I now prayed. So that night, I had a dream after praying. And God showed me frankincense. And we are Pentecostals. Pentecostals don't use frankincense. So I started telling my friends about frankincense. And it is very good. And when you have a series of attacks, just use it. But over time, I realized that people that were coming to me were people that were oppressed and depressed. And then I began to research into it. Then I saw that...
All right, let me ask you a question. Are you saying you said you don't want to preach the word?
No, I want to preach the word, but I want to... Like, I believe in...
You said you don't want... You want to just use anointing oil.
No, I want to preach the word, but I think... I want to say, like something like spiritual jurisdiction. Okay, when God gave me that, Frankie said, like what Apostle said, that when you receive a vision, another person might interpret it this way, another person will interpret it that way. So when I got the frankincense, I did thought that God wanted us to be using it. Then over time, the people that were coming to me were people who were oppressed and depressed. And then I see that I was sent to those people who are oppressed and depressed. And then as I went on with my research, I actually found out that frankincense was actually an antidepressant.
All right, I understand. You want to answer? I understand. You want to answer?
I want to tell you this experience I had in 1971. Either 71 or 72. I gave my life to Jesus May 1971. Okay? And this thing happened to me either August 71 or August 72. One of those 2 years. I was very young. The faith. We were at an SU camp in Benin. And during the afternoon rest period, the Spirit of God ministered to me in my spirit that I was going to read 1 Corinthians 13 at Church of God Mission. That was Benson Idausa's church. The following day, Sunday, ministered to me that I was going to read 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? Now, at those SU camps in those days, what normally happened was that on Sundays, they would divide us into groups and we'd go to visit various churches. If they allowed us to preach, we will preach. If they didn't, we'll just stay in the congregation. So when the Lord told me that, I said, Lord, for this to happen, I have to be put in the group that will visit Church of God Mission. I hope you understand. They were going to divide us to go to various churches. I said, Lord, for this to happen, I'll have to be put in the group going to Church of God Mission. Cut a long story short, I was put in the group that was to visit Church of God Mission. And I said, Lord, for that to happen, I will have to be the leader of the group. Me, young believer that I was, the group, they said two of us were going to lead the group going to Church of God Mission. Okay, Lord, it's like you are passing the exam. So I called my fellow leader and I shared this thing with him. But what I told him was that the Lord said that I was going to preach at Church of God Mission. I told him that the Lord said I was going to preach at Church of God Mission. So we got there the next day, and Archbishop Benson Idahosa was not around. He was out of the country. Bishop J.B.S. Coker was second in command. We asked to see him, and we told him, and I told him what I said God said, that I was going to preach. And he said, it's not a problem, oh. The only problem is that S.G. Elton is on ground. He's the one supposed to preach this morning. I hope you guys have come to know who S.G. Elton is. He's the great-great-grandfather of all of us. He said he is on ground. He's the one supposed to preach this morning. That if we don't mind, we can come back in the evening. And in my infancy, innocence, I said, the Lord said, it is this morning. And they said, okay, we'll see how it goes. So we went and sat down. Then sometime during the service, they now announced, we have some brethren from the SU camp in town visiting us. We will invite one of them to come and read a passage. I came out and I read 1 Corinthians 13. My brothers and my sisters, it was not until many years later, after that incident, many years after I had grown some in my walk with God, my mind flashed back to that incident. I said, you stupid idiot. God told you that you were going to read 1 Corinthians 13, but you expanded what God said to be that God said you were going to preach. Did God speak to me? Yes. What I said that God said, was it accurate? No. But can you see the close similarity between reading a scripture and the preaching? In both of them, you will mount the pulpit. You see how easy it is to confuse things. Friends, I'm begging everybody, let us calm down. Oh. Let us calm down. Let us calm down. When God is ready to use you, He will use you. Don't try to push anything. Everybody calm down. That's what I would say.
All right. I was going to ask you from what you were saying. SU camp, he was saying, means Scripture Union camp. Because some people may not know what SU.
I'm not hearing.
SU camp means, I'm explaining it, means Scripture Union.
Scripture camp. Union. Scripture
all,
Union.
All right. So, I want to ask, when they used to have camps, what did they used to do?
Sorry?
What did they used to do inside the camp? What were the trainings that you had?
During the SU camps, they trained us to read the Bible. They trained us to read and study the Bible. There will be preaching. There will be general preaching. After the general preaching, we will break up into Bible study groups. And in the Bible study groups, we were studying various passages of Scripture in small, small groups where everybody was contributing to it. It was all centered on understanding the Bible. It was all centered on that. Unfortunately, because of a limited interaction with the Holy Spirit, by way of people not being baptized with the Holy Spirit, the depth of revelation of the Word of God concerning our general redemption and all of that, it was limited. But the little that they knew, they taught us. A lot of it was centered on a lifestyle that was committed to God, to pleasing God, to honoring God, to living for God, living for God in your place of work. In the context of all those things, we were taught that it was wrong to use the letter-headed paper of your company for private communication. That it was wrong for you to use the letter-headed paper of your office, which was meant for official work, to use it for private communication. When you say such things today, the believers of today will look at you as if you are crazy. You may call it an extreme in commitment and holiness, but it did something. The believers of that time, they lived for God. You never heard that a believer was involved in embezzling money. You never heard that any sister got pregnant. You never heard, you know, some of the vices that seem to be commonplace with us today, that some people are almost saying there's nothing we can do about these things. We just have to learn to live with them. No, no. No, we were taught to live a life that honors God, that pleases God from the depths of our heart. That was what SU camps were like in those days.
All right, next question. Anybody want to have a question? All right, I'll take you. Come. This area, I'm coming now. You are all quiet. Yeah, no question. All right, the gentleman in... Okay, the gentleman in white. It's a lady I want to hear. You. All right, come. Three of you. Come. Okay, you can come too. Come. All right, start with him. I'll come. I'm going to come. Where is the mic? All right, ask him, please.
Thank you very much, sir. My
you have
question
to speak out loud. All right.
Okay, so my question... Thank you very much, sir. My question is, what is the secret and wisdom behind longevity in obscurity? In other words, people don't know what God has asked you to do, and you are there laboring, and you have to stay a long time regardless of what you can see. Many people that you raise, or that God helped you to raise, let's say forsake, and then you most times or many times were in a position where things were very hard. So what was the secret or what's the wisdom behind longevity when people don't see what you're doing?
Good question. Very good question.
Thank you very much. Good question. The secret behind all that is something fundamental that every believer, every preacher must have to resolve. What am I doing in ministry? Am I pursuing my own agenda? Or am I pursuing God's agenda? Am I pursuing my own agenda? Or am I pursuing God's agenda? And everybody must continually review his heart about that question. Because if I am pursuing my own agenda, then whether I am seen, whether I am known, whether I am famous, whether I am popular, whether I am recognized, those things will become a problem for you if you are pursuing your own agenda. Are you following me? But if you are pursuing God's own agenda, then the issue of who you are or what men say or how they perceive you, that is no more a big issue. One of the big things I am trusting God to help us to understand today, the concept of being a tool in the hands of God. Being a tool. When a mechanic is working on a car, yeah, and he calls his boy to say, give me spanner number 6. Give me number 6 spanner. His boy will pick up number 6 spanner and give the mechanic. The mechanic uses the number 6 spanner for what he wants to use it for. When he finishes, say, give me number 12. He gives him number 12. The mechanic knows what he wants to use number 12 spanner for. The spanner has no voice. He has no input on what the mechanic is going to use him for. The mechanic is the master. He's the master craftsman. He knows which tool he wants to use. My brothers and my sisters, November 20 this year, Koinonia Ministries was 45 years. The ministry on the platform on which I serve God was 45 years. I didn't make any noise about it. I didn't talk much about it. Because I said the assignment is still ongoing. It is only when we finish and they say we have passed that we can begin to celebrate. But I gathered a group of young upcoming ministers for a workshop in Ibadan to share with them by the grace of God how ministry should be done, how ministry should not be done. From one of the big things we need to understand about ministry if we are going to last and last and last for God. From our hearts, we must determine, Lord, I want my heart to serve you. In any, whatever, it is God that must use us. We must not try to use God. It is God that must use us. Whatever way he pleases. Whichever way he pleases. We are tools. We must learn to be tools. 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 I have no voice in the matter. It is God who determines. And when you have that attitude, you will be amazed at what God will do with you. We are not in ministry for our personal benefits. We are not in ministry for our personal benefits. We are in it because of God's agenda. And if we are committed to that, it's very likely that we will survive for a long time. There are many other things, but this is a very crucial one.
I would like to ask you to give us a sneak preview into what...
I'm not hearing too well.
Can I hear you?
Can you hear me, sir? Okay, better.
Okay, better. Okay.
Thank you, sir. I would like you to give us a sneak preview into what Christian discipline, especially among student leadership, what it looked like when you were on campus. You know, I work in this space, and from the trends we see, it seems to...
Campus. Ah, la, la, la. God help us. Again, it is God that must use us. Amen. God must use us. I was in my father's house in Warri in 1974 during the long vac when the Holy Spirit told me that I was going to be the next president of IVCU. That's the Ibadan Varsity Christian Union. He told me I will be the next president. I said, okay, if you say so. Then he came up with the next line. He said, I will have to write to apply to be allowed to serve as president. I said, me, write to apply? No way. This was my language. I said, Lord, no way. What if I apply and my application is turned down? And the news now goes out on campus that Emiko wrote to be allowed to be president. Where will I hide my face? I said, Lord, no way. And the Lord told me, if you turn down that assignment, you will suffer heartbreak from the way you will see things degenerate amongst my people. Those were very terrible days on campus. We had all kinds of horrible false doctrines flying around. Franklin Hall, Neil Frisbee, William Branham. We had all those things flying around. Franklin Hall had a teaching that if you fast for 40 days and above, you will overcome all the things of death, that a believer is not supposed to die physically. And he quoted scriptures, he that believeth on me shall never die. He had all kinds of scriptures. Neil Frisbee had his book, The Scrolls, and he said that the rapture was going to take place in 1979 from his Capstone Temple in the Arizona desert. And all kinds of, and these teachings came with a warning in the name of prophecy that anybody who opposes it will die within 21 days. So, campus was tense. That was the atmosphere in which Holy Ghost was telling me that I will write to apply. I said, Lord, no way. He said, if you turn it down, you will suffer heartbreak. The way you will see things degenerate. Kai! So, wahala. Lord, is this God? Is this me? Is this God? Is this me? I was not challenging myself. Emiko, how proud can you be? What makes you think you have the solution to this problem? I was praying. August, September, October. Cut a long story short. A week before they were to meet to do the final selection, the serving president of the fellowship came out and said, "Brethren, something strange is happening. People have sent in nominations for all positions except the position of president. There is no nomination for president." Holy Ghost said to me, "Did you hear that? They are waiting for your letter." Hey! I started praying, Lord, the day, Saturday before the Sunday when they were to meet, president came, no nomination for president. Brethren, what is happening? God said, "Did you hear them?" I prayed from that night till morning and prayed from morning till evening. By 6 o'clock, I gave up that I will write the letter. I will write it. Cut a long story short, I wrote the letter, handed it to a brother. He handed it to the president. The president opened it. He read it. He said, "This is God," but he kept it. They met at the executive, settled all other positions. President, they could not settle. They quarreled among themselves. They could not resolve it. Then the president brought out my letter and he read it. People said, "Praise God. This is the solution we have been looking for." Beloved, when God wants to use you, He will pick you up and do whatever He wants to do with you. When I took up as president, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit were totally unknown. The senior presidents who had oversight over us, they did not believe in those things. So it could not be taught. But one day in November, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "If you don't do something about the way things are going about my children, you will be guilty of the sin of Eli, who saw his children going astray and didn't do anything about it." How does a young university student process such information from God? I was shaking and trembling. I prayed. I summoned a meeting, the Chapel of the Resurrection. When I look at some of the things I did then, I laugh at myself now. In that letter, in that notice of summons, I said, "All that have a portion in the blood of Calvary are required to assemble." When brethren heard the announcement, they say, "Yay. What has Amigo come up with again?" Brethren gathered that night at the chapel. I can't tell you details. I gave the message as God gave it to me. I was going to close the meeting. He said I should wait. I waited. He asked me to tell somebody to pray. I asked somebody to pray. I was going to close the meeting. He asked me to wait. I waited. He said I should tell somebody to pray. I asked somebody to pray. I was going to close the meeting again. He asked me to wait. I waited. In that third time of waiting, my brothers and my sisters, God is my witness. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell on that congregation. People were baptized in the Holy Spirit on their seats where they were. I didn't lay hands on anybody. I didn't preach on the matter. I didn't pray for anybody. People were baptized in the Holy Spirit on their seats where they were. The after effect of that meeting of that night on the direction of Christianity in Nigeria, I shudder to talk about it. I leave those things for eternity. But God did something. When the senior brethren, the professors and lecturers, heard what happened, they wanted to cut my head for bringing up this matter of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I said I wasn't responsible for what happened. I did not preach on it. I did not pray for anybody. I did not. Anybody who wants to fight should go and meet Holy Ghost and fight him. I said I wasn't responsible. Beloved, because of some of such experiences that God graced me to have, it has become apparent to me that it is only God that does his work. There is no man that can do the work of. What power did I have to bring down the Holy Ghost to fall on people? Let us relax in God's hands. Let our hearts hunger, cry after him. Let him do the rest. Thank you very much.
Amen. All right, this lady, and then I take one more. The lady. Yes, that's what I said. That's just one. All right.
Good evening, Wafek. Thank you, sir. Reverend Emiko, how do we see ourselves as God sees us? I tell friends that you need to see yourself as God sees you, with righteousness in Christ. When God sees you, he sees Jesus. They are comforted, they smile, but it doesn't quite have the effect that I need. What am I doing wrong? What do I not see? I appreciate scriptural references. How does God see the believer? Thank you.
Very good question. I think that touches on some very fundamental problem in the body of Christ today. People hear a message. They are excited about it. They are excited about it. But that's where it ends. They don't go home to the Holy Spirit to expand what the preacher said to them. The effect is that people hear messages, but the message has not taken root in them. The message has not taken root because people are not meditating in the Word of God. They hear the Logos. They hear the Logos, but they have not spent time to meditate on the Logos for the Holy Spirit to transform the Logos into a Rhema, for it to become what God has said to me, a revelation of God to me. It is God that must unveil his word to us. It is God that must uncover his word. Me being the righteousness of God, it must be established. In 1973, I was coming for a camp at the current Ajebo camp. Okay, Four Square camp. I was coming in from Lagos. And all through the taxi, I felt prompted to witness to people in the car. Okay? But for some reason, I didn't do it. The moment we alighted at the gate of the camp, I walked in. The moment I walked in, a brother walked up to me. He grabbed me. He said, "Bro, come. God wants to use you." He took me to a sister who needed deliverance, and he wanted me to minister deliverance to the girl. Immediately, Satan jumped on my neck. He said, "God cannot use you. God cannot use you. God asked you to preach to those people in the car. You didn't. God cannot use you. God cannot use you." By the mercies of God, because of my understanding of my righteousness with God, I said to Satan, "Satan, that matter is a family matter." I said, "It is an I said it is an internal family matter between me and my father. It is an internal family matter. We will resolve the thing between ourselves. You have no matter, you have no voice in this thing. Friends, we need to know the word of God beyond what preachers tell us in church. Preachers will introduce us to it, but we must go home and sit down with the word of God. Many people are not doing it. They are sitting down with African magic. They are sitting down with social media. You know all of the names of the film actors, but you don't know the book of Nahum. You don't know the book of Zephaniah because you are not spending time. And so our personal fellowship with God is very shallow. That's where revelation of who, how God sees me. That's where insight of that will come out. I want to throw in this experience if I can. I was coming from Birmingham back to London in a train, 2018 or so. I got to the Marylebone station in London. I wanted to use the toilet, okay? And I went to look for the toilet at the Marylebone station in London. It's one of those toilets where you have to pay before you use it. And that thing makes me so annoyed. Why do I have to pay to use the toilet? It's not a lot of money, but why do I have to pay? So I turned my back to walk away because I said to myself, in the next 15, 20 minutes, I will be home anyway. As I turned my back to walk away, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, go and pay that money and use that toilet. That's all he said. Am I glad I obeyed? I turned back, I paid that money, and I used the toilet. What I thought that I would get back home in 15 minutes, I got home 4 hours later. 4 hours. Did I know I will get back in 4 hours? No. But the Holy Spirit knew. Do you know the big thing that came out of that for me? Of all the 8 billion people present on planet Earth, Emiko, the child of God, I am not lost in the crowd in his sight. I am not lost. Friend, have you tried to search for somebody in a crowd of 10,000? Do you know how easy it is to search for somebody in a crowd of 10,000? How much more God searching for me in a crowd of 8 billion? I am not lost in his sight. God loves me. God loves me. God treasures me so much that I am not lost in his sight. God loves me. And friends, because he loves me, he pampers me. He watches out for my interests. That's how God sees us. My children, I have 4 boys. When they were still 3, I knew that boys will play. I remember one year, I came back with 2 BMX bicycles from Atlanta, Georgia, for my boys. It was my responsibility to provide them what they need to enjoy their lives. God, your Father, he cares about you so much. He wants to provide you the things you need to enjoy your life. God loves you. That's where I will leave it at that.
All right. Because of time, we'll close at this point. I'm sorry. The people that I called, I gave. Okay then. Thank you very much, Reverend Emiko. If we can find time any other time, we'll do this again.
I want to inform us, please. I brought some 2 of my books. They are out there in the bookstand somewhere, Knowing God and How to Receive a Miracle from God. A lot of the things that we struggle with in getting the word of God to work for us on a daily basis, they are addressed in those books. please, at the risk of being accused of trying to sell my book, you accuse me, I am guilty. I'm trying to sell it to you because I know what it will introduce to you. And as I normally say, if you buy it, after reading it, if you don't find it useful, my phone number is there, my email is there. Write me, I will refund 5 times what you spent buying it. Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you all. See you at 5:30.
Hallelujah.